Hi, Taimaze. I am your host, Diana, and you are listening to the Taiwanese Girl Podcast. This is a show where we can have a relaxed conversation about what it is like growing up as Asian Australians and being Taiwanese, navigating adulthood as I am now going to my 30s. Come on the journey with me and let's chat. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Taiwanese Girl Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of the country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders peoples today. Welcome back, everyone. This is actually take two. welcome back to the Taiwanese Girl Podcast. Episode 3. So on today's topic, we are going to talk about how do we feel about going into our 30s, feat my two good friends, and they're both Taiwanese as well, Ruby and Charlene. I'm actually very excited to talk about this topic, actually, because I feel like we have a lot to say about how do we feel about turning 30. Probably not the biggest fan, but you know, it's okay. 30, thriving, and flirty. Is that how they say it? Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic over to these two and get them to introduce themselves. So take it away, guys.
Hi, guys. I'm Ruby. I am in the medical device industry. I used to be a radiographer. Initially, at the start of the episode, the radiographer and optometrist. We are very honored to be here as our first, Diana's first guest. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, not much about me. I have a lot of hobbies.
What do you like most?
I like art, music, but, you know, in the medical device industry. Yeah, I guess that's, like, you know, the Asian in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, just doing a lot of things to make life happen.
I know, you hustle really hard, too.
Yeah, I think in my 20s, I did a lot of things, because finding what you want to do is very important to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm always open to try a lot of things, and I dive into it as well. Yeah. So, but now, yeah, good. Got a groove.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right. Hand it over to Charlene.
Hello, Charlene.
She didn't introduce us as our best friends anymore.
She said we were her best friends.
Okay.
I guess not.
I'll do a redo. My two best friends, we met in Chinese school, and since grade 8, bestest friend ever. And also, in the very first cut, what did you say, Ruby? What do you love? You have to say it. I thought that was the really good one. Come on, Ruby, you can
money.
Do this.
I want choices in life.
Yeah, she likes money. That's as real as it gets.
I don't
when it
like
comes
money.
To being
I
Asian.
Love money.
Okay. Yeah, okay, we all. Actually, I love money too. No shame, okay? Anyway. Oh, that's right, Ruby. That's right, I forgot to ask you. So, how long have you been in Australia?
Oh, I was born here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think out of the three of us, Ruby's the only one that's actually a true ABC.
ABC.
Which is Australian-born Chinese. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Let's pass it on to Charlene.
Hi, everyone. I'm Charlene. I am an optometrist. Mm-hmm. And I live in Perth now.
Yeah, she ran away from all of us.
Yeah, I ran away from everyone. And I am also like a kind of like a manager, optometrist
she
kind of
the
thing.
Regional manager.
Yeah, she's the regional manager.
Kind of a manager.
Nah. I just wipe everyone's asses. That's what I do. Anyways, I came to Australia in 2004, so just before I turned 10.
Yeah, I think that's around the same time as I did as well. Yeah. And also, just before, I forgot to mention, we all just came back from our New Zealand trip all together. Yeah. So we actually has touch base on a few points about how we feel about turning 30, but we're going to really dive deep into it in this podcast. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's start with the very first question. How do we feel? How do we actually feel knowing the fact that we're turning 30 next year? So we're still 29, living that 20s sort of era. Mm, how do we, how do we actually like really truly feel?
I feel like I'm nowhere near as mature as I thought I would be being 29. Like, you know how when you're like younger and looking at people that are older than you and then you're like, oh my gosh, they're like so big. Mm-hmm. They kind of like, they know what they're doing with their life. And then you get to that age and you realize, oh, actually you don't really know. And then you look up at the people that are older than you again and you're like, oh,
and yeah, you still don't fucking know.
And then like, you get to like nearly 30 and you're like, oh, actually, I don't think I still don't think I know what I'm doing.
What about you, Ruby?
I feel a little bit deeper about this. Like 20s. Okay. Yeah, it's, I actually wanted to ask you both, like, if you felt this way. Because like in your 20s is when you kind of like go out and about, do everything that is new, experiencing new things. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm 29, I feel like I should have my shit together. Mm-hmm. Like as if the next thing I decide should be just a little bit more, I guess, like stable and I don't know how to say this, but you know what I mean? Like
more grounded.
Yeah, more grounded. Mm-hmm. And just a little bit. Like it should show more results.
Yeah. But I think you are though. You shouldn't be that harsh on yourself.
We'll get there.
Yeah, Ruby's there. Not honestly.
This is why I like money. Yes, I fucking get there.
This is why I love money. Yes. It solves all the problems. No, joke, sorry. No.
You're gonna earn your own money, okay?
Yeah. Stay in school, don't do drugs.
You're gonna earn the right way as well.
Okay? The right way. Okay, no, so I'll share a little bit about how I like feel about going into 30s. I think I'm in a little bit of a different stage, I guess, not in comparison, but like just as an overall to both of these girls, just because I think turning 30 to me, I feel like I'm content. Like I feel like I'm more in my skin. I'm not really scared about raising my own opinion, because I think in my early 20s, I don't know if you guys feel this, but I was really scared to actually say what I actually think, because you feel like, oh, if I say this, I don't sound cool, you guys are not gonna be friends with me, or like whoever that was in the circle back then. And I think now going into my 30s, I think one, I have great friends. I think friendship wise solid. And two, I feel like you just know yourself way better. So even if you don't have your friends next to you, like they are now, because, you know, Ruby just came back from Melbourne. So we were all apart and, you know, Charlene's in Perth and we were all apart and now we're kind of like conjoined together. And I feel like every time we spend time together, it's like no time has passed. So I feel like it feels better. I like it. I like in my late 20s to 30s better than in my early 20s because I was dumb and broke, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what I'm going to say. Oh, dumb and broke. Because I was just thinking about the fact that, wait, hold on a second. If I'm actually, like, I have a bit of money now, hence why we had such a great time in New Zealand trip.
We also went to New Zealand when we were 18.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Me and Charlene. Oh, by the way, we're drinking gin and tonic. Yes, this is how we're doing it. Yeah. So me and Charlene, when we graduated high school, so we went to different high school. But we all went to Chinese school together. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I don't know what happened, but we just both were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go to New Zealand.
I think we didn't go, so that was our school lease.
Oh, that's right. We didn't go to school lease. Oh, that's right. Did you go to school lease?
Really?
No, I didn't. Where did you go?
I went to Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she went to Japan. Yeah,
so freaking fancy.
Oh, the next trip was paid for by the Australian government.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, we were grade 12. We graduated. So me and Charlie both thought, oh yeah, let's go on like a schoolies trip. So we thought New Zealand was a good choice because it was, you know, literally our next door neighbor. And we were, I don't know, we didn't really...
It was fun. But yeah. It was very different. Like, we stayed in hostels.
Yeah.
We took, like...
Yeah, that's right. We did stay in hostels.
Yeah, we stayed in hostels. We had to take, like, the cheap buses down to Rotorua. Mm. Whereas this time, it's like, we get to choose our Airbnbs.
Can we just take a moment? So, Princess Chu over here... Just imagine what? Anything and everything that has to be like top class, elite, clean.
No, I'm actually pretty, like, I'm pretty
I don't
chill.
Like to get my hands dirty. If I hold a fish, I'm gonna hold it like this.
I just, I'm not a very good cook.
Yeah, she relies on us to
cook
for
her. I'm not a very
good
cook.
Yeah.
We can actually cook though.
Yeah.
Huh? You can actually cook though.
I reckon you follow the recipe, you can cook.
I can follow
but
the
she
recipe.
She just doesn't want to do it. She just doesn't want to do it.
But she's very, like, she was very innovative. Like, she was able to, like, cook a really nice meal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
With, like, our leftovers and stuff like that.
So we got all three kinds. Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. If you don't know how to cook in your 30s, I just want to tell you guys all out there, it's okay.
It's still fine.
It's fine. She survived.
And yeah, I recommend not knowing how to cook.
All the way.
So then you don't have to cook.
You don't have to cook. So she's doing it the smart way. Okay, cool. Is that, like, do you guys have anything more, like, more input? Like, how you feel in your 30s?
Right,
is like,
yeah.
So obviously for you, you feel like you could do more, but I feel like you've done
I feel like
a
I
lot.
Need to do more.
You got your whole life to do it. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's good to have that drive.
It definitely feels like the next chapter of life. Mm. Like, as if the next chapter should be a little bit more solid, clearer pathway.
Mm.
Yeah, like, just something that you can maybe leave a legacy on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And what about you, Charlene?
I feel like, I'm still not very much. I'm still not mature for, like, turning into 30s, but you do feel like you are under a little bit more of a time pressure. Like, you want to, when you're a bit younger, if you want to do something, it's kind of like, it's okay, I have time, I'm still young.
Mm.
Not saying that we're not now, you do feel like, oh, if I want to do something, I need to do it now. A little bit more.
Urgency.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Okay. No, I think that's good. Actually, I do want to ask you guys this question. So just bring it back a little bit to how we all met. So just to dive in a little bit, we all met in Chinese school. I know I've said that early on in the podcast, but I just thought we'll dive into that a little bit. Because I want to explain to you guys, like, the foundation of this friendship here. Like, you know, we met in grade 8.
Nine.
That's right. Grade 9. We were all in the same Chinese school class.
We're in the same class.
Yeah, we were
I
all...
I don't remember which year.
No, I don't think I started in your class.
So...
We were in the same class.
You guys were in the same class.
Oh, okay. So we were in the same class. Okay.
Yeah.
So me and Ruby are in the same class and Charlene is in a different class.
I was
class
in a year
first.
Below because that was the first year I joined the Chinese school.
Oh.
I think you guys started earlier. Yeah.
Right.
I only joined... later and then that. I moved into your class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then that's when the three of us were together.
So we met, but we weren't in the same class, so I don't think we were as close. And then I moved into your class.
Yeah.
And my friend from high school was also in your class.
Oh, okay.
And then we became
good friends.
I think that's
But then do you guys remember how we became good friends? What is the first impression we have of each other? I honestly can't remember.
I actually don't remember.
You don't either. Oh, maybe
I don't remember.
I feel like we were just a bunch of kids and we got placed into one class.
And then you just...
And we just sort of...
It's very interesting, actually, because my impression of both of you were, like, you know, guai bao bao.
Okay.
To be fair, I think I was.
To be honest, I think I was.
No, are you kidding me? I hear all these stories. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with my mindset?
Wait, hold on.
That's when we're older.
That's when we were older.
Good at reading people.
But back in the day,
sorry to disappoint you.
No, I mean, this is why we're friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I think we were like goody two shoes when we were like kids.
Yeah.
But I think it's,
I was too.
Yeah. No, I think we all were. Yeah. I think we all were. But I think my first impression of you, because you so Ruby is not mixed. She's 100% Taiwanese.
Yeah.
But my first impression of her was so vivid is because I thought she was mixed and I was like, oh, 你是混血儿吗?
Yeah,
and
I think that's the only thing I can probably remember of first impression.
Yeah.
Circling back to her identity crisis episode. Can you imagine my identity crisis? Yes.
Oh shit, I should have got you on that podcast.
I think I remember you said something like, oh yeah, I'm mixed. I'm 台东混南投, or
something like that. Oh yeah, I
You want, mate? You want to
Everybody says the same thing.
Yeah. I think my first impression of Charlene, I remember you were quiet. I remember you were a little bit quiet in the beginning. But then, slowly after, I think the first 6 months in that class, I then started realizing you're actually very talkative. Like, you actually can get along well with pretty much most people.
Mm.
And you were kind of like the girl that is like, can talk to everyone.
Mm.
Whereas I can't. I think I just stuck with you, and then another chick. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I always thought I had like, what's that thing called? Like social...
anxiety?
No, social awkwardness or something.
No.
Like,
nah.
Like, I can talk once I like feel comfortable with the person.
No.
But I'm quiet. Like, I'm pretty quiet. And I just always stick to my friends, even going into uni.
Mm.
Like, but you're nice to like other people around you.
Yeah, you're nice to other people.
And like,
I'm a people pleaser.
I would say that.
That's like, Asian in me.
People like 亲切感, like you feel
right.
Very
polite. Like you give people like warmth and politeness. Not so much awkwardness. Yeah, but that was my first impression because I remember like. Even though I was there before you, but I think Charlene blended in with our class in general. Because all of the people that attended Chinese school were Taiwanese. Like, that was a Taiwanese Chinese school. So I remember, like, Charlene was able to really talk to everybody. Like, she dilly-dally pretty much up and down a grade, plus our grade. You know everyone pretty much at that point.
You did, actually.
You did. You were kind of like the popular girl.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'll take that.
I'll take that title any day. Yeah, I'll take that.
Thank you.
I'll be the Chinese school TC.
Yeah. Actually, wait, hold on. Our audiences might be, some of them might be young. So can we explain what TC means?
TC means you're the too cool.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, when you say that, it doesn't make you sound cool anymore.
I wonder if they still say that.
No, they don't.
No?
No, I have a kid. I have a 20...
You have a kid?
Yeah. No, I have a 21-year-old kid that works like as an intern at my office. And no, they don't say that.
They don't?
No, they're so much cooler than we were. It's so sad. But anyway, okay. No, that was a good one. I like to know, so that was good. Okay, so now let's circle back to going into our 30s. How do we feel? Like, well, what are the things that we have noticed as we got older or as we aged? Especially for women, obviously, because we're all females here. So, I mean, I'm sure that as women, we all, you know, we all age. Like, we're all 29. And I've definitely noticed things that change about my body. Things I don't, you know, things that I notice as we get older. And I think body image is such a... You know, it's such a sensitive thing. And I think to a lot of younger girls out there, I think don't be too harsh on yourself. And I think all of us here, I like to think all of us are pretty happy with what we look like. I think body image isn't really an issue now as we get going into our 30s. I like to just kind of dabble on that topic because I think it's so important to let everyone out there, especially women, doesn't matter what age. I think body image is something that you always have to encourage yourself to be happy with yourself. If you don't like it, exercise, even just like, you know, going out for a walk, you know, things like that to make us feel better. So what do you guys think on that?
Well, on the New Zealand trip,
mm.
I can definitely felt the difference. when I fell multiple times on the slope.
Wait, hold on, give people some context as to why
so
you were falling.
So we went snowboarding, but they've both snowboarded before. I've only skied before, so this was my first time snowboarding, and I know, well, they keep saying that snowboarding is easier to pick up compared to skiing, but...
Harder. It's supposed to be harder.
Yeah, it's supposed to be harder to pick up, but...
But easy once you get the hang of it.
Because, like, I felt like with skiing, I picked up, like, you know, within a day.
Mm.
And, like, there's, like, that really distinct differences and falling and, like, bruising so much as well.
Mm.
I also fell when I skied. That was like a couple of years ago now. And so I feel like there's definitely that difference. Being a little bit older, you can feel your body age a little bit. That's definitely for sure.
Yeah. That's true.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think when you're in your early 20s, I think you take more of a risk to do whatever. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, fall, break your arm, whatever. You heal fast. But by the time you get to your 30s, like, oh, no, I cannot break my hip. I cannot break anything. Because once it's like, damaged, you're, like, you can't get back to the original mobility, I feel like, when you're a lot older.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
But I think, okay, so I think, yeah, that's true. But then how do you feel about just in general, like,
Mentality-wise,
yeah, about your body image and things like that. Because I think that's something we all struggle at one point.
I would say, like, I didn't struggle as in, like, I don't think I had social issues because of it.
Mm.
Like, I was still able to make friends and stuff like that. I know some people had that problem.
Mm.
But I definitely had a lot of inner struggle when I was young, because, like, I've always been, like, a bit chubby, and, like, people would always be like, oh, a bit roller and stuff like that. And so I remember growing up and, like, looking into my mirror on my wardrobe and kind of, like, bending down and pretty much, like, holding back my thigh fat and looking into the mirror and kind of going like, oh, I wish, like, my legs I have a thigh gap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
I remember, like, doing that a lot internally to myself, but not so much externally, I think, which I think I'm lucky.
That's good.
And then now you definitely feel I got quite fat.
When?
I
don't remember.
During uni. By the end of uni, like, but for, like, it's like I know about it myself, and, like, I do want to do something about it, but then you kind of, I think, like, I'm not sure. I think, like, when I was in my 20s, I kind of have that mentality of maybe, like, what you said before, like, it's similar to you want to give people that impression of being, like, confident in everything. So if anything, I know I was getting a bit overweight, but I was probably in a little bit of a denial, and I don't really, like, want to face that problem, to now where it's more like, I want to exercise because, I want to make sure I'm, like, healthy, like, my body is good, but not because, I feel like I'm not happy with my body. It's like knowing that, I've put on a couple of kilos. I haven't been eating very well because, like, you know, you get busy with work and I don't cook. I don't cook a lot. And so you sometimes get a little bit complacent, and that's where you you know, you remember, oh, okay, I need to probably watch myself a little bit.
Yeah. But it's more so to make you feel good. Yeah. Instead of
it's not
thinking about what it's other not people about think.
What people think of how you look. It's more about how you feel about yourself. So
I think Charlene said it very well. I think for body image wise for younger girls, always have a goal to make you self feel good, like internally, like health wise, instead of going into with the goal of like, I want to look like a Victoria's Secret model. I'm gonna have to be very realistic, it's not gonna happen.
It's genetics.
Yeah, it's genetics, you know, it's not gonna happen. But I think it's good just keep reminding yourself that if you want to just feel healthy, feel good about yourself, honestly, that's the mentality that you should go into it. And I feel like
very much in your thanks guys with the mic. Very much in your 20s, it's all about like finding yourself as well, because like for me personally, like, you know, finding your own style, what kind of clothes, what kind of makeup style that you want to kind of achieve is a process. It's not something that you see and you put it on yourself and you'll all of a sudden like. So in my 20s especially, I feel like I kind of experienced a lot of things to just kind of feel me. You know, like it's, you have to take a deep dive into how you actually feel to see and ask yourself, do I actually like this look on me? Do I actually feel good? Do I feel like I'm under my own skin?
Yeah.
Like that itself is a journey.
Oh, that is a long journey.
Yeah. So like we say, like, you know, you need to be happy and all that. Yes, that's the end goal. But the journey is to get there. And while you're taking that journey, embrace it. It's a lot of fun.
It's not about the, what is it? What's the quote? It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Oh, so philosophical. Okay.
Oh, we're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting there. But also, I think to add on like the clothes thing as well, I think the biggest difference between now and like when I was younger is, I think like when you're younger, you kind of just blindly follow the trend.
You see someone
look good in something and you want that and you put it on yourself. It's not necessarily something that's so suitable for you. Whereas now I'm like, I'm a lot more comfortable with just going, I'm happy with this on me, and I, this is not suitable for me, and you're okay with being like not suitable in everything.
Well, even just like being okay with not being on trend,
kind
of thing. But I feel like as you get older, the trend really isn't, it's like, I feel like when you have a cool sense of style, right? I feel like when someone sees you with a really cool of your own sense of style, you're like, wow, this person's really cool, like so confident.
It's almost like you vibe it's like instantly.
You vibe out instead of like you're trying to vibe something that you're trying to make the shoe fit when it doesn't, like kind of thing. And I think like Charlene said, I think the biggest difference, like when you're in your early 20s compared to when we're about to turn in our 30s, I think you just know yourself better in general, and it's gonna keep going, because I swear to God, by the time I'm 40, my body's going to change again. I'm going to have to find another style of clothes, you know? So it's an ongoing journey, guys. It's never the destination, but yeah, I think it'll be a fun journey to be on. And obviously when you have friends, it's much more fun.
The goal is to be a grandma and have like 1,000 stories to tell.
I just want
to
be fit enough to like still do trips with my friends.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. That is so true. So no more breaking
and snowboarding.
Yeah. No more snowboarding for you, Charlene. So next thing I do want to kind of like a little bit more on a serious note, but I think so far we have covered most of it, like most of the big things. So I want to kind of end on the how do we feel turning 30, kind of the first segment is, what are the greatest life lesson that we have learned so far in our own journey? So when we were in our early 20s, to now going into our 30s. So not yet, we're still 29, just to clarify. I need to make sure that that's out there. But I think, I'm going to give a little bit of a backstory. So even though so this is just on the topic of friendship in general. I think all of us here sitting here, we weren't friends for like the last, I don't know,
Not every single year.
Mm. I think it's only this year or last, like, well, me and Charlene a little bit earlier, uh-huh. and then you then
joined
in a couple months, maybe a couple months later. And I would say, like, I think we all have our own path that we went on to. We all experience our own living. So there's a lot of things that I've learned, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that these girls have learned that we can share with you all.
I think the biggest life lesson for me is probably going into my 30s, probably love yourself.
Mm.
And have respect for yourself.
Mm.
Within that, knowing your boundaries.
Oh, 100%. Mm. Yeah. Knowing your boundaries is a massive one. Yeah.
Because I think, like, I did mention a little bit earlier on, I do recognize now that I have unintentional people-pleasing trait.
Mm.
And it could be from being Asian, could be from... just anything really. That really hit me, like, sort of throughout, like, the mid-20s especially, with, like, the stuff that I went through, and then now kind of, like, growing out of it and growing into it.
Yeah,
I think that's probably one of the biggest thing, biggest life lesson.
Yeah,
and the biggest difference between now and my younger self.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I think for the biggest life lesson for myself is how to let things go. They're just not everything you can hold on to. There are just some things you just have to be, you just have to let go. So when I was younger, I was very tunnel visioned. Because me and Charlene have spoke about this, and I don't know, you may have noticed when I was younger, I was like super tunnel visioned.
Very stubborn.
Very stubborn. It could be because I'm a Taurus, but you never know.
If we were to talk about first impression, I think not necessarily first impression, but like just my impression of you when you were younger was you were very stubborn.
Stubborn, yeah. No, I think that's a very fair point, because I think my stubbornness probably has to come from, like, the upbringing when I'm in my family. I don't know what it is, but I'll have to dive into that for another episode. But I think as I got older, obviously I've hit rock bottom a few times. And I think, and sometimes I feel like hitting rock bottom isn't a bad thing. I think you have to hit rock bottom to kind of come back stronger and come back knowing yourself better and humble yourself a little bit. So I think with me, the one of the biggest life lesson is just let things go. If things are not meant to be, and this could be friendship, it could be relationships, it could be work, if it's not meant to be, let it go. It doesn't mean that you're lost, because I when I was younger, I definitely am guilty of, like, oh, I won, he lost, or I won, they lost kind of attitude. And I feel like that is such a negative mentality to have, because if it's not yours, or if it's not meant to happen to you, you're not, you just let it go, because if you don't close that door, nothing else will come to you, and you're basically hindering yourself in the path that you're growing to be. So that's my biggest life lesson, is definitely let things go. Don't hold on to things. It will make your life so much easier. Like, you feel so much more at peace. So that's my life lesson. Like, automatic. One mic is fine. Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be that deep, but, like, it circles back to self-respect.
Because
I think in your 20s, with my experiences, because I work in such a male-dominant industry, there's... I guess a lot of banter that happens at work.
Actually, sorry, just to interrupt. Can you explain to the audience just a little bit more detail of what you do? Because I think what you do is very, not a lot of female works in that industry.
So medical device industry, a lot of people work in it, even females. But in orthopedics and spinal, not as much. So all of them, like, all your clients are male. It is such a yay moment for me.
Because they're orthopedic surgeons, hey?
Yeah, because like, you know, like your leg, your femur is essentially as hard as concrete. So you kind of need that power in a sense. Like, I respect, you know, men and what they do. But females, especially because we're caught in an era where, you know, we're so traditional, we're brought up in a traditional way. But then the Gen Z, they're just trying to be a little bit more, a lot more open-minded.
Yeah.
Sex and gender is not a thing. So, but we're caught in the middle. The way that they treat us, I guess it's more conventional, especially in health as well. So having that self-respect and having that foundation of who you are, what you know, and display it out there is very important. And I think being brought up in an Asian manner, you're a lot more humble. Like, you don't really display a lot of things out in the open. And this is something I'm still learning as well. Like, even in my 20s, I'm still trying to display. But yeah, just having a little bit more self-respect and saying that, no, this is not how you should treat me. Or like, this is something that I can't accept. And just being able to show them that you can be at value to them the same way that other people can. Not, you know, I'm here just because I know something and I'm a girl. Like, I'm not here to be like a Huaping, you know.
Yeah, that's true. A vase. For those that doesn't speak Chinese.
You're
not there to be a vase.
So I think that's the main thing that I learned in my 20s. Like, that was very significant to me. And it's still something that I'm still trying,
to learn. But I think that's what brought you to where you are today, or to where we all are today, is through the biggest life lesson that we've learned.
It's valuable.
Yeah.
It's tough, but it's valuable.
We're going to hop on to our question segment. So obviously we covered a lot in the last segment, and I feel like we could cover a lot more, but that could be for maybe a second part.
We have part two.
We have part two. Yeah. So we will have part two. That will come up when Charlene's back in Brisbane next, which we don't know when. So we will see. We will see. But okay, so I have a few questions for you guys, and obviously I'll join in as well. Just in terms of the question revolving around turning 30. So is this where you guys see yourself at 29, 30? Like, do you guys, this is exactly where you guys see yourself? Well, you know, or give and take.
I think if I was younger, like if I was in primary school trying to figure out where my career pathway is supposed to go, I think I'll be proud of myself. I am now. But because now I know so much more, I'm exposed to so much more. I know there's so much more that I could be. So I guess, like, yes and no.
That's okay. We're always trying to, you know, be better, upskill, things like that. That's fine. But yeah, no, that's good. And what about you, Charlene?
I think for me, it's a yes and no as well. So in terms of where I am at in my career, what I sort of had projected for myself when I graduated optometry school, I think, yes, I'm quite happy with it. Like, I think my younger self will be quite proud of where I am. But also no, and similar to Ruby, I think, because you get to a stage and you kind of realize that there are other things that you want in life. So like, not exactly for me now, but I think my younger self would be pretty happy with where I am.
That's
career wise.
That's really good. You're gonna be proud of yourself.
How about you?
I'm actually completely a yes. Like, to me, I'm a complete yes. I do, this is exactly where I see myself. Just a little bit of back context. I just got a job in government. But yes, so I think in that regards, yes, I am a complete yes for now. I do, it is exactly where I see myself going into 30. To be in this job and just where I am at the moment. So yeah, but then again, I think
who knows, when I get into this job, I could be exposed to a lot more because it's a bigger organization. Yeah. I could see a lot more. Maybe I'm just not catching up to them just yet because I haven't seen as much as I could yet. But I reckon once I get in, once I get to know the system, I probably will. It'll probably be a no at some point. And then that's when you upskill. And then that's when I go for something a little bit higher and things like that. Mm. So, yeah, no, that's good. But then, yes, just to enhance, yes, I would be proud of myself too. My younger self would be proud too.
Good job, guys.
I think I'll be, yeah, I think I'm proud of myself now. No humbleness. It's like, yeah, I'm proud of myself now.
No, you should be.
I'm very proud of myself. Yeah.
Very much should
And be. I'm very proud of you guys as well.
Oh, thank you.
Literally. I think we all done really well.
We need things like this to remind
us. We need, yeah, that's so true. What is the one advice you would give to your younger self?
Be more out there. Yeah, like with me when I was younger, I think I was very quiet.
You were. Yeah, you were a very shy kid.
Like I had, I feel like I didn't, I just kind of just did everything that my parents organized me to do. Cause like after school, there's always like, you know, music, sports.
Oh, by the way, guys, Ruby's really good at piano.
She used to be
so pro. Actually, no, Charlene as well. You guys were both like music genius anyway.
Yeah, just like, you know, your parents organize everything.
Thank you. Thanks for the
praise. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. You know, have fun a little bit more because I think I, you know, studied a lot, did a lot of co-curricular stuff, and then, like, that was where all the fun was, whereas I didn't really go out to party or like, well, I wanted to, but my parents didn't want to take me there. I don't know, like just somehow put yourself out there a little bit more, and it doesn't matter if you embarrass yourself
100%.
Yeah, you know, make a lot of dumb mistakes, like you want to do that all when you're younger.
Yes.
No, now definitely. Like if you see me do it now when I'm 30, they'll just be like, fuck
the
wrong
fuck
with
is
you?
Wrong with this
yeah. Yeah, but like, you know, enough. If I was young and doing that, you know, it'll just be
hold closer.
Much more fun.
And
through that, it's not even just about the joy and the fun, it's more like a lot of the emotional lessons that you learn from that, and how to actually figure out what your boundaries are, and how you want to treat people, how you wanted to be treated as well. Like you learn all that through all those experiences. And if you don't put yourself out there, like you don't, you're not exposed to it. So that's I'm true. Exposed to that very late.
Fair.
I wish I was exposed to it later. Earlier.
Fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Charlene?
I think I was pretty lucky. My parents would actually drive me to the clubs and pick me up.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So I had my fair share of the party time, and but I think for my younger self, I probably would say the biggest thing would actually be maybe work a little bit harder during uni.
What do you mean?
Like I think like I don't know. I feel like in high school, everything was about the OP, which is like the
equivalent to ATAR today.
Yeah.
And then so I think like as soon as I got into uni, it was like, I'm in uni now. I'm going to have, like, so much fun. I wish I explored a little bit more opportunities for myself. Like, get out there. Like, join, especially with optometry, because you are pretty much, you. It's not like some other courses where you get to do different units with different people. You're constantly doing classes with the same people, which is great. Like, you make really good friends, but also at the same time it does mean that you're less exposed to other people as well. And I do wish that I was a little bit more confident in like joining clubs and stuff like that when I was younger. And which would have like, I guess opened up a little bit more opportunities in terms of like, just like building up things like, knowing your boundaries, and all that kind of stuff. Because I learned a lot of that after I graduated and after I started working. Because I'm always constantly in my comfort zone with my group of friends that I hang out with all the time. And you don't need to worry about getting yourself out there.
You don't even need to think about it.
It's
so
comfortable. Now that's interesting because I have the completely opposite experience. And you guys know about it because we talk about this a lot. So for me, completely opposite. I was the, I partied all through my uni. I didn't do well in my high school. I was definitely not the academic one. But I think I would say I'm definitely the more like, I actually exposed myself to the things that a lot of my friends, especially from Chinese school, probably didn't. And I think a big part of that was because I was in boarding school. I was surrounded by just people in general who moved out of home, who has different family backgrounds. And just, I think I was exposed to that in such an early young age. By the time I hit uni, I was like, party. Like we all used to go to Wonderland. That used to be an old event in Brisbane. Like, you know, do you remember guys? Do you guys remember the days? It was a good, time. But yeah, I think, just in general, I was completely the opposite. I exposed myself to, you know, I had a few boyfriends. I had a few bad heartbreaks in my early 20s. And I think that helped me with my boundaries. I think, you know, me and Charlie and Ruby, we spoke about this a lot. I think the major difference is when you experience something like that in your late 20s, I think it's a it's a completely different experience. I don't really know the extent, but you know, I've been there for Charlene. We're not going to dive into that. Not today. Not today. That's going to be a 2-episode. Like, okay? Let's not get too deep into that. It's going to be over. It's going to be 2-episode long.
Are you sure 2 is enough?
Yeah. It's two enough? No. It was like over the span of 3 years. Anyway.
At least 3 years worth of free therapy.
Free therapy. So I think for me, it's I don't know. I think I'm glad in a sense. I think I'm very glad in a sense.
You loved the experience.
I loved it. I think I've experienced it so young, and I think now I'm older, I think I'm just sort of like, I don't know how to say it. I don't want to come off too cocky. It's more like I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I didn't go with the norm of society, especially in Asian culture, that you're meant to do it a certain way. You're meant to study this, and then you're going to get a job, and then you're going to get this. Mm-hmm. I just went on my own path. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no shame, even though I had to thank my parents, really, because they, even though they were like headaches, like tong tong, they're like, oh my God, what is she going to do? But, you know, eventually I found it. I found my path. I found it. I'm on the right path. I think the path I took wasn't the traditional path, and I think that's okay. And I think that's one of the biggest thing I, you know, want to give to my younger self, is the fact that don't be afraid to take a different path, but also don't be afraid to take a gap year. I think for me, I think now looking back, because obviously I'm still Asian, I'm still coming from an Asian family. My dad wanted me to go into health, which I guess all of us kind of did. But I wasn't happy. I wasn't really happy in what I was doing. And if I can go back to my younger self, like, take a gap year or two. It may not work on everyone, but I reckon it would have worked on me, because I'm kind of like I'm kind of free spirited that way, that if I go on a different path, I feel embarrassed. And I think that's the main reason why I didn't really stay friends with these girls. I think we all kind of separately lived our life. And I felt like at the time and place, where I was at is not the same as where they were at. So that's okay. You know, friendship goes through their own, you know, roller coasters and things like that. But yeah, I think I would definitely tell my younger self that take a gap year, do what, you know, now I've experienced Queenstown. I would have freaking go there and be a bartender and snowboard every day. Like, you know,
literally
master
dream.
My toe turn.
She got her toe turn this time.
Yeah, S turn. So, you know,
Yeah, cool. But yeah, I guess that will end the serious part. And I think, and I hope that we sort of touch base on what it feels like, I guess more so as females, how we feel going into our 30s. I think there's a lot of big topics in there, but if you guys want a deep dive, we can always do a part two. Charlene can probably be on FaceTime. We can, we can do this. You know, technology is so, so farther these days.
We should have a
Chinese episode.
Or like, you know, hilarious. How we talk these days is like, you know, a couple of languages mixed, yes, in a sentence.
We can do that. Yeah. Maybe that will be for another episode, part two. Yeah. Okay. So, I also want to do this segment with these girls as our last segment. So lately, I don't know if you guys know, which I did ask them before this, before we started recording, is girl maths. Girl math is a real thing. So
better than normal math.
Yeah, better than normal math. Like my husband said to me, it's stupid math. But I'm like, no, it actually makes sense. And we are here to debunk that for you guys. Now, so I heard that one of the number one girl maths, paying in cash, it's free. What do you guys think?
I don't agree with that.
Because it's not coming out of your bank account.
Nah,
I don't agree with that either.
Whoever said that, completely
different. If it's not my cash, then yes.
That is so true. If it's not my cash, yeah, true. Then it's free. Yeah. Number two, girl maths. If something is $29.99, it's actually $20.
No.
Nah.
Not for me.
Nah.
Okay, good. Because I was like, that's pretty much $30, hey?
Yeah.
No, that would be a 30.
That would be a $30. Yeah. Okay. Number three, girl maths. Self-care items are priceless.
Yes.
Like when you spend it, it's pretty much free. Like in our head, it's like, oh yeah, of course.
You can't free, put a price. It's not. Yeah.
Put a price tag on it because what you get out of it, is worth. Can be worth.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. Your happiness and your mental health is more important.
100%. So for all the guys out there that you think that we have so many bottles on our nightstand, don't judge us. Those are priceless.
Well, let me ask the guys, do you want your girlfriend to be angry and having like a bad mood all the time and just interrupting the atmosphere, having a bad vibe?
No, you don't want
if
that.
If it's a no, let her have it.
So true.
There's a reason why there's a saying called happy wife, happy life.
Yes, that's it. Remember that, guys. Okay, girl math number four. If it's 50% off, you are saving money.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know why I laugh is because some guys will be like, no, you're still spending that 50%. How is that saving money?
Are you kidding me? It's basically free.
It's basically free. It's
no, but if I need it anyway, I would like, you know, of course that's saving money.
Yeah.
If I mean, I need it anyway, of course I would be happier paying half price than paying full price.
I can hear all the guys out there shaking their heads right now. All the guy listeners. Okay, next one. Number five, girl maths. When I return an item to the store, that's a profit.
No.
No, it's not like, a profit, it's but it's effort. A win.
It's a win.
What? Well, why? Well,
in a way.
In a...
why?
Okay, actually, wait. Have you guys done this? Okay, so I've done this sneakishly with Just Jeans. So I was going to New Zealand, not the trip that we went to, but this is like... early on, like when I was 19, I went to New Zealand. I bought a puffer jacket from Just Jeans. I wore it to New Zealand. Then I came back and say, oh no, it doesn't fit. Not knowing that they know that I wore it to New Zealand. So I used it and then refunded. That's a profit, I reckon. That's a profit for me.
That's a profit.
Yeah, that's a profit.
That's a profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
although that's very,
I don't encourage
unethical.
It.
Yeah, no,
I
don't.
Don't do it, guys.
Okay, so.
No, but I don't get it. Like, why is it a profit?
It's not a profit.
It's not,
I wouldn't say it's a profit, but I think it's a win because for me, because going in, like, imagine you think that you are meant to be spending $100 and then you ended up refunding something. So then for that particular bill, you technically only spent like $50. Then it's a win, but it's not a profit. It's still $50 loss.
Yeah. Girl maths.
In my mind, I'll just be like, it's such an effort to go and bring it over and get it refunded. Okay, I'm an odd one out.
I don't know. Maybe you know what? No. I think it depends on what. Yeah, it depends on what. But I think in general, some like there's some girls out there thinks that when they return an item, it's in profit because you're it's profiting not a profit. Back. It's not. So logically, it's not a profit.
It's definitely not a profit. If anything, it's only a little bit of a win.
Yeah, that's it.
I wouldn't think it's a profit. It's still a loss.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it's not a loss if you gain something that you need.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, another one. So, girl math number 6. If I purchase a $300 dress and I got 3 pre-planned events that at that moment that I want to wear it to, that means it's $100 each event that this dress is cost. By the third event, I decide not to wear it, but I decide to sell it for $150. That's basically free.
That's a profit.
That's a profit. That's a profit.
That's just right? Like how you like return the jacket.
Yeah. You wore it. You used it. You still sold it. A profit.
Yeah. Because if you're gonna rent that dress, it's also gonna.
Yeah,
be
it's also gonna cost. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But there's a lot of guys out there. They think no, you still spent that $150, even though you sold it for.
Do you want your date to look good or not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Point. Point taken. Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page here. Okay, so, girl math number 7. If I'm not spending any money, I'm saving money, or I can spend twice as much the next day.
Nah.
But yeah, so that's girl maths for you guys. Is there any girl maths that you guys do on your daily life in general? You know how to some things that you think to yourself like, oh yeah, if I purchase this and I wear it this many times and this is, yeah, it's basically free, or you know, any of those moments.
Because like luxury goods.
Yeah, I feel like as a woman we can always talk ourselves into buying things if we really like it.
Yeah.
But then you only do it for show. You're like, oh, nah, it's a bit, maybe I'll think about it, maybe this, but then you still purchase it anyway, kind of thing, you know, that vibe.
Yeah.
You know that jacket that you saw in New Zealand? Wait, hold on.
I have technically been thinking about that for a while.
Have you?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
I think I will, but I want to find a style and obviously size and colour I like.
Yeah.
I think I'm, speaking of getting into your 30s, I'm very particular with,
that's a good
you
point.
Know, what that's, I like. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think things through as well before I buy it.
That's actually a good mention.
I love money, I earn my own money, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So I still gotta budget.
We're all independent women here. We all have good full time job, okay? We don't live on, you know, other people's money, just to clarify.
Still gonna work and hustle. And yeah. I think as females as well, it's really important.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like I think you need to have your own skills and, you know, just if anything happens as well, like you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, no, that's so fair. I feel like, knowing what you want and taking time to think about what you want and not just buying nilly willy. I think that's a big one. Actually, yeah. Because I remember in my early 20s, I used to just buy whatever and not whatever, obviously within the budget I can afford, but like you tend to just buy like, what is it? Like just crap. Yeah, just dumb shit. You're like, what the hell?
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys bought this, but like Supre, do you guys remember?
Oh, yes. I remember. Yes.
So they used to have this belt that is literally a piece of cloth.
Wait, is that the thick
yes!
belt?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, so you buy that and then like it was like a very fashionable belt at the time, but when you look at it, it's literally a like piece of cloth being cut into like a straight and then like stitched with like attachments, and then they sell that for like what, $20? And that was a lot of money at the time.
That is so true. Actually, wait, I just want to add on the topic of turning 30 and also on the topic of money, buying stuff. What is the dumbest stuff you guys ever bought? And also, wait, in the context of now we have money, what is the dumbest shit you have bought? Now, who wants to start first? It ain't gonna be me.
Okay, thinking of, like, wait, you know, externally, like, what you see. I feel like I'm still
thinking. Do you, I feel like you know your answer. Okay, here, here, you go. Take it away.
Slimming cream?
Oh my god, this doesn't work, does it?
Slimming cream.
Oh!
So I was like you as well. I'm like, oh, I wish my arms were thinner. Like, I want my thighs to be thinner as well. I even bought, like, freaking F cup cookies.
Oh my god.
Have you heard of that?
What?
So, like, because, you know, it helps you grow your boobs. Yeah. So.
I thought papaya helps you grow your boobs.
Oh, I had that, but, you know, I'm
Does it grow? Does the papaya milk grow your boobs?
Apparently it does. I don't know.
No, I think it helps you control your hormones a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And stimulates it somehow.
Wait, so how much are we talking about this slimming cream?
It wasn't expensive, but
you think it was...
Because we used to go back to Taiwan every year, so I bought it from Taiwan. Yeah. So I just, like, you know, went out of my way to buy that. And I think I actually failed with the F-cup cookies, actually. I researched into it.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to be subtle. I didn't want anybody to know that I wanted to buy F-cup so I can grow my boobs. And then it wasn't that popular at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think, yeah.
But that was like the dumbest shit that you had
bought. That was pretty dumb.
All right. That's a good one. That's a good one. Now, Charlene, I feel like you...
Do
you have one?
I'm pretty sure I bought... a lot of dumb stuff, but I just can't remember from the top of my head.
Like a specific one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You guys are so sensible.
No, I wasn't... I wouldn't say I was sensible, especially first year out. But, like, I was, like... I wasn't really allowed to... not that my parents actually said you're not allowed to, but I just kind of... for some reason, when I go back to Taiwan, even if I want to buy like a piece of clothes, I'll call my parents first and then be like, oh, I just saw this. This is what it looks like. And this is how much can I buy it? So I think that prevented me from buying dumb stuff because I tend to always ask.
You always check.
But I'm pretty sure I have bought some pretty dumb crap. After I moved out.
Oh, yeah, I think we all did.
I definitely have.
Yeah. I think we all did. I don't know what
I just can't remember what.
I don't know what dumb stuff I bought, to be honest.
You guys don't have, like, memories of, like, dumb
I think it's, like, either we do, and then I just block it out.
Yeah. Like, you're in denial, and you don't want to... You don't want to...
Your mind is a very powerful thing.
Yeah. I think... Okay. I can only think of one, because it's pretty significant. I wouldn't say it's dumb crap, but I would say it's the stupid amount of money I spent on is makeup. So in my early 20s, but also now in my late 30s, it's kind of continued on, but although I kind of toned down a little bit, is makeup. I used to be, because I try to find the perfect match of foundation for my skin. And I remember I try, like, you know, it started off with Kmart, and this is when, you know, when you have no money. But now when I have money, I went through like Fenty, Too Faced, Shiseido, Giorgio Armani, Dior. Like, it's just, these are expensive
this
shit.
This is where my girl maths comes in. I'm just like, you're going to figure out what actually suits you.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, why couldn't I have just got samples?
Oh.
You know what? You know what I mean? Why couldn't I have just got samples? Why do I have to go and buy a full size? Yeah. What the hell? Why do I have to go buy a full size of, like, foundation and not even use it and then just let it sit there and expire? That's a stupid purchase, like, stupid amount of money. Yeah. So that's my stupid purchase.
I learned something. You can get samples.
Mate, are you serious?
It didn't even click.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Until you mention it, I never thought of that path. Have you?
I know you can get samples, but until you mentioned it, I was like, oh, I literally just live with the wrong stuff and I'll finish it.
Samples, mate. Samples.
And then I'll get samples, but to use it.
Yeah, but until if it's like wrong, I would just be like, okay, I'll just like use the wrong one until this bottle's finished and then I'll get another one.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's also another skill I didn't learn
Oh, there you go.
Makeup. Cooking and makeup.
Cooking and makeup. Actually, no, that's true. Charlene always gets me to do her eye makeup, but I do a bomb ass eyeliner. Wouldn't you say? I do a bomb ass eyeliner. But that's all of my practice in my early 20s and watching all the tutorial on YouTube every single day. I was obsessed. Mm. But anyway. Anyway, okay. I think we should wrap it up.
Okay.
Where the boys are cooking steak. We're having steak night tonight. So that's pretty exciting. So let's wrap this up. And I really hope you guys enjoy this episode because it's actually really fun to have guests on your episode, because rather than just me talking to myself, I actually have someone to bounce ideas off with. So this has been a great experience for me. But anyway, so yeah, thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys, or talk to you guys next time. I'm sure you guys will see them on my podcast very soon. But yeah,
just very honored to be here.
Yeah
and learning something new about samples, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway. But anyway, all right, we'll wrap this up. Thank you for listening and see you guys next time. Bye.